Sports Talk continues. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams, and it's a pleasure to go now to the Stanley Fence and Gates Hotline, Jimmy, where a special guest joins us now.
We are pleased to be joined by Wimp Sanderson, former head coach at Alabama, had great success with the Crimson Tide, and he's a guy, when that SEC tournament came around, his teams were just terrific. Wimp, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me on. I hope I can give you some information.
Well, thank you for joining us. And I wanted to ask you, I know that the game of basketball has evolved, but you got an Alabama team that they had like a four-game stretch where they averaged over 40 three-point attempts per game. Do you cringe when you see that?
No, not really. I think when he inherited this team, he wanted to play that way. Mm-hmm. And he was fortunate enough that when he got here, he had four basketball players that could shoot it like that. He had one that he brought in from West Virginia, the Bolden kid. And that's the way he wants to play, probably the best way for him to play, provided they can do a little bit better job late in games. And, you know, they're averaging 11 threes a game made, and they're shooting somewhere in the neighborhood of early 30s, 35 per game. So I think you take your personnel and try to study them and see, you know, best way to play. And let me tell you something, Alabama basketball fans like all of that because everybody likes home runs and long passes and, you know, three-point shots.
When you do that, do you need to have a big man to help you clean up the boards, get some rebounds? And if so, is Hubert Jones that guy?
Well, I think you do. He's been injured, but they've been pretty good rebounding and actually they've been pretty good at the free throw line. So many times that when you shoot a lot of threes, you don't go to the free throw line very much, but Alabama has. I'm not here to toot their horn. I'm here to be honest with you about everything that you asked me. But I think probably he's pretty fortunate. If he wants to play that way and he walks into Alabama and Alabama's got one shooter, he's 88. He's not going to win the game.
Right.
They're just very fortunate that they had recruited the Shackelford kid from California. He didn't. The four of the five were here when he got here. So, you know, that's pretty fortunate for them. And I would say that he's done a pretty good job with it. And they've had injuries just as everybody else has had injuries, and it's going to be interesting last three or four games of the season. Of course, Tennessee's at Arkansas tonight. Right now, if it stood today, right this minute, Alabama and Tennessee would play in the 8-9 game at 12 o'clock on Thursday, but that certainly may change in the next four games.
Last year, Auburn made the Final Four as Bruce Pearl guided the Tigers there.
Wow.
They lost three really good players, two guards and then a Kiki. And here they are this year. They're 24 and 4, I think. Are you surprised by the success Auburn's having this year coming off of last year?
Yeah, a little bit. I think they don't shoot the three as well. They got bombed by Alabama, bombed by Florida, got beat at Missouri. You know, so three big losses. They got beat at Georgia. But they've played well. They're going to be probably a 4-5 seed in the NCAA tournament. They're going to end up second to Kentucky. Kentucky's going to win it all, and Kentucky will beat them this coming Saturday in Lexington. So I would say, yes, they've done a good job with their team. He does a good job coaching. He's very, you know, charismatic. The crowd comes, 9,500 come and fill the place up, and they're much better at home. So, you know, I got to give them credit, certainly. I don't have to, but I do give them credit because they're darn good.
Last year, the Southeastern Conference did a great job of getting teams into the field of 68.
Yep.
Looks like it's been a bit of a step back. Why do you think there's been more feast or famine for the SEC this year?
John, that we've got anybody that's really just head and shoulders. The team that's playing the best right now is Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Cal's got them playing very hard. They're playing very smart. They're shooting the basketball well, and they are distributing the basketball among themselves. I think to answer your question, we got a bunch of teams that are sort of alike. The selection committee will have a hard job getting time to decide who will be the 68. It won't be easy. I would say in the SEC, and I ask you this, but it sort of goes with your question, maybe Mississippi State might slide in. They might slide in and make five. Mississippi State doesn't play their potential, in my opinion. Alabama probably would have won that game last night if Petty hadn't gotten hurt. Now I'm not pushing Alabama, it doesn't matter. South Carolina, maybe, but I would think that to answer your question, we're seeing over the long haul of everything, you know, Kansas beats Baylor, yet Baylor's going to be a number one seed. San Diego, who we've never heard of, is going to be a number one seed. It's pretty much parity over the whole United States basketball-wise.
folks in Gainesville have been waiting for this team to hit its stride. You had the top target among all possible graduate transfers and transfer portal guys in Blackshear, who joined a very talented incoming class of freshmen for Mike White. What's it like when you try and mix veteran talent that joins a program with this new day and age with the transfer portal, along with young guys that still have to get some experience?
Well, of course you like it, because he's a very talented kid. He maybe has not played as well as he should have or could have from Virginia Tech, but he's very talented. You're happy to have him, and the portal is going to be for another day. One of these days you can call me back and we'll get into a big discussion about that. But the portal deal certainly was good for Florida there, and Florida's been an up and down basketball team. They've beaten some good teams, yet they still have to go. They have Kentucky at home, which is good for them. And I would say, if I had to guess to you guys, they'd be, not looking at Joe's lately, I'd say are 9, 10, or 12 a seed in the NCAA tournament. But it's good to have a guy like that, provided he can come in and play maybe a little bit better than he's played.
Our guest, Wimp Sanderson. Wimp, when you look at Tennessee, they had two outstanding years in a row, yep. Lost some very good players, struggling this year. What's your take on the Vols?
Well, averaging, I think, somewhere in the late 60s, 67 points a game, lost a lot of players. Vescovia, however you pronounce it, has come in and helped them some. I think they've played okay. I thought they played better. Of course, they pretty much got annihilated in the second half against Auburn. But I thought they distributed the basketball a little bit better. They came out and made some big shots. And I think they've done okay. They're going to be, 7, 8, 9, or 10 team, 10 seed in the SEC tournament. But you got to give them a lot of credit for playing the way they have. He's done a nice job with them. They're just not quite as good. And when you lose that many people, I understand that Rick's really had a good recruiting year, so they'll be back next year. I would say this is sort of a year in between a good year, and maybe it's going to be an exciting year next year. This year is not going to be an NCAA team unless they can win it, but I would certainly give Rick's team a lot of credit for playing hard, and I know he got disgusted with them in the second half of the Auburn game, and I think I did too watching it, but it was one of those things.
The three-point line was moved back to the international distance. It's the worst three-point shooting percentage since it was enacted in 1986-87. Were you in favor of that move, or do you think they should have left it where they had it?
I was in favor of it. I think they needed to. You know, the team that's going to win the league this year, Kentucky, is shooting a shot the least. I think they're averaging a little over 14 threes a game. So you play the way you need to play, which is the best way for them to play. A big kid inside has played better. They're shooters. Quintley Kidd last night just burned it up. He's very, very good and gotten better. So I think you look at the line and decide how your team needs to play. And I think with Cal's team, that was the best way for them to play. And for Alabama, I guess the best way for them to play is the way they play. And Auburn's in between there, and probably Tennessee is less than that as far as looking to shoot the three. So I don't know. Arkansas plays tonight against Tennessee, and Arkansas is the best defensive team against the three. And so I don't know how many threes Rick and them plan to take. But I think moving it back is better. I think it's a little bit better myself. Defend the dribblers is a big thing. Excuse me.
I've heard people say that, well, most of the time you're seeing three-point attempts or dunks. The mid-range game is a lost art. Do you agree with that? And if you do, does it bother you?
Well, it bothers me a little bit. I would play with a post player. Now, I had Robert Ory, Derek McKee. I had good players in the post. That's what I was supposed to have. So, you always said I had good players. I thought that's what I was supposed to have, was good players. So Robert Ory and those guys, we took it inside to them. Mule King, before I became the head coach, we had good post players. So I think that you need them. You can go through the post and still shoot threes. Yeah. The postman has the ability to throw the ball to the weak side. If he catches it on the left side, he can grab it, spin around, and throw it to the right side where the defense doesn't get back. So you can still shoot. I just think you need to go through the post some. Alabama doesn't have really great post people. They struggle there in that area. But I miss the two-point shots a little bit. But for Alabama, it's three-point shots and fast breaks and layups, and not in much in between, and maybe that's hurt them a little bit.
Coach, you mentioned Santiago Vescovi earlier, and you look at a young man that has done as well as he can as a young 18-year-old joining the team at the time SEC play started, and you still have a lot of those wild attempts at making incredible highlight reel plays, but every now and then, on a somewhat too consistent basis, he gets airborne and doesn't have any idea where he's going with the basketball. When you have a young player that's got a high ceiling and the ability to make big plays either by himself or to his teammates, how do you get that to the point where you grow this young man into a better decision maker in terms of what he's doing, when and where with the basketball?
Well, after you've lost all your hair, I'm not sure what you do. But I think one of the things that you do is when that happens in practice, you stop it right there. You stop it and you try to get him to understand that he shot a quick shot or a bad shot and some guy was open right in the basket. He didn't see him. And you try to correct it right there. I don't necessarily mean you run him and penalize him, but you just try to get his awareness. That's all he's ever done. You know, I used to laugh about a couple of my players that only shot when they had the ball. It's hard to get guys like that to fit in. He comes in the middle of the year, and trying to fit in with these guys, and he's played a different way. And Rick and them have gotten a lot of good use out of the guy, and I think he's a very good basketball player. And when you mix him in with these kids that are getting next year, I don't want to overlook the Arkansas game. I don't want to overlook the tournament. The tournament is your chance to go back to the NCAA tournament. We were fortunate enough in the 12 years I had the job to get in the finals 9 times. That's not bad for us. So it gave us a chance to get there in case we weren't going there. So I think it's important that you keep your guys playing and understand that we still – if I tell you if you win the next 3 games in the tournament, you're going to the NCAA tournament, you'd be excited. So I think you point towards that and you try to correct him. Great question. And try to make him play a little bit better the way your team needs to play.
What has it been like to see Jerry Stackhouse take over Vanderbilt, a program that lost every game last year, has just 1 win this year, but you can see, I think, some improvement among those players after losing their best player to injury earlier in the year?
You want honesty?
Yes, sir.
No, not very good. I don't think a pro guy can come in unless he understands that he has to recruit. And I know that he got the kid hurt, and that's a shame. I just think that when you get a kid hurt and your team is lacking on ability, that you have to decide a way for your team to play to give you the best chance to win. I don't think Vanderbilt does that. I think they snip it and go it, and if you shoot it 5, it doesn't go in 5. Got no post players. I just don't like the way they play. In my lifetime, and I've been an SEC guy for all my life, coached for 2 other guys for 20 years. You tell me you're going to wake me up from the dead and tell me that 1 year Vanderbilt didn't win a conference game and the next year they won 1 or whether they won, I'd faint. I don't think that they've taken what personnel they had and done the best job with it. Now, I may get blasted by all the Vanderbilt people. That's fine. But I just don't think they have. That's the answer to the question you asked me. Now, it could be wrong. I just don't think that you have even though you were a great player, and you were recruited, and you did all these good things, there has to be you have to play the game where the other team doesn't get so many shots, and you get a few better, and you milk the clock a little bit. You don't play like that, in my opinion.
Did want to take just a quick minute.
Sorry.
It's quite all right. Very much appreciate your insight into college ball, but I also appreciate your willingness to lend a helping hand. There's a young man that you're helping him come back as best possible from a very tragic situation. If you would, tell us what's going on with Landon Godsey.
Well, Landon Godsey is a young man who my dad died when I was 6, and my grandmother and granddad lived in a little town called Town Creek. And my mother would take me up there to see them, and so a Town Creek's a little bitty place. I found out that the storm, they were in a trailer, he and his mother and daddy out. Mother and daddy were killed. He was laying in the woods, and they got him and air rushed him to Birmingham. And ever since that time, I have been doing everything. I've been going up there once or twice a week, and seeing the kid, took him all this Alabama stuff because he's an Alabama fan and those things. I'd have taken him Auburn if he'd been an Auburn fan. So bought him some hard hats and did things for him, and we've raised about $30,000 to $35,000, and he's at the Children's Hospital in Birmingham. it means more than me. You'll ever know for you to mention this. Not for me. I've got a bunch of kids, but this kid woke up Christmas Eve. There wasn't any presents under there, and he lost his mother and daddy. And if they want to help to GoMe Fund in Moulton, Alabama, for Landon Godsey, I'd be thrilled to death. And I can't thank you enough for mentioning that to me. I appreciate it.
How old is Landon?
He's 10. And he doesn't know me from Adam's house cat. But I went up there and held his hand, and he's laying on his back trying to teach him to walk again. He cannot talk yet. He cannot talk, and I don't know whether he knows that he's lost his mother and daddy or not. I'm not going to be there when they tell him, because I'm not that good at it. I may never have a smile on my face, but I've struggled with that. So
well, it's amazing anyway, how much effort you've put into this.
Yeah, it really
is.
Well,
I've tried to, and hopefully we'll see some good come out of it, and I'm going to keep working at him. And I told him I'd take him to a basketball game, not this year, of course, but sometime, and let him meet Coach Saban. Those kind of, they like all those football guys love that stuff. So. I thank you again for what you said.
Well, Wimp, thank you so much for joining us, and hopefully we'll have a chance to visit with you during the NCAA tournament.
Well, hey, by the way, thank you all for not mentioning the strength coach going to Georgia. let me congratulate both of you.
Hey, that's football, man.
Because I thought surely the win I was going to get. I wrote some things down for you. They're going to nail me with that strength coach going to Georgia. I'll tell you what. Thanks a lot. I'd rather talk about Landon than the strength coach going to Georgia.
Hey, Wimp, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Okay, thank you, guys. Call me anytime.
Yes, sir. Right,
thank you, Coach.
Bye. That's Wimp Sanderson, former head coach at Alabama. And as he mentioned, I knew he did great in the SEC tournament. 9 of his 12 years, they made the SEC tournament finals at Alabama.
Yeah, and he joins us on the Stanley Fence and Gates hotline. And if you wanted to, just send a little something to help out Landon Godsey and his recovery efforts with the GoFundMe account. Just go to Coach's Twitter account, @WimpSanderson1, @WimpSanderson1. And if you scroll down his timeline, you'll find a link that you could be able to lend a helping hand should you choose to. But it's great to see him reaching out the way he is with this, again, terrible situation.